Scheuer presents Class of 79.
Thanks for tuning in to Class of 79 on the Fangoria Podcast Network, where we take you behind the scenes of our favorite movies that turn 40 this year. I'm Natasha Pacetta, your host and vanguard of the vault over here at Fangoria, and this is our series on Alien. In the first installment of our Alien series, Academy Award winner Roger Christian shared his memories of making this incredible movie, and today we have another Oscar winner on with us, Nick Alder, the special effects supervisor on Alien. Nick won an Academy Award in 1980 for Best Visual Effects in Alien. Nick breaks down the mechanics of the chestburster scene, why Ridley Scott called the original alien egg designs obscene, getting Jonesy to hit his mark and meow, and much more. Before we get to Nick's stories, I want to tell you about Fangoria magazine. In 1979, the first issue of Fangoria was released into the world. It's been 40 years and Fangoria is better than ever. Each issue bringing you 100 pages of exclusive, carefully curated content honoring horror's past, present, and future. These articles and interviews will never be published online, so the only way to read them is by getting your hands on a physical, collectible copy of your own. Now, we can't give away what's inside the magazine because we want the experience to be a surprise, but we can safely say you will not want to miss a single page. Head on over to Fangoria.com to learn more and to subscribe. And while you're there, make sure you enter the promo code CLASSOF to save 15% off your subscription. That's Fangoria.com, promo code CLASSOF. And I'm excited to tell you about Satanic Panic. Sacrifices must be made. Fangoria's new movie, Satanic Panic, starring Rebecca Romijn and Jerry O'Connell, hits select theaters and VOD on September 6th. Sam, a pizza delivery girl at the end of her financial rope, has to fight for her life and her tips while her last order of the night turns out to be high society Satanists in need of a virgin sacrifice. Directed by Chelsea Stardust and written by Grady Hendrix, Birth Movies Death calls Satanic Panic an absolutely entertaining horror film that will satisfy any viewer's need for monsters and mayhem. See it in select theaters and on VOD September 6th. And I want to tell you about our Alien series sponsor, Titan Books. Titan Books has recently released The Making of Alien by J.W. Rinzler. To celebrate the movie's 40th anniversary, author J.W. Rinzler tells the fascinating story of how Alien evolved from a simple idea in the mind of writer Dan O'Bannon into one of the most memorable sci-fi horror thrillers of all time. With brand new interviews with Ridley Scott and other key members of the original production crew, and featuring many never-before-seen photographs and artwork from the archives, The Making of Alien is the definitive work on this masterpiece of popular cinema. The book is available now at bookstores and online retailers everywhere. Now, let's get to Nick's stories from his time working on Alien. Let's start with the chestburster scene. Can you walk us through the mechanics of setting that shot up?
First of all, I've got to say, John Hurt, bless his heart, was one of the loveliest guys I think we've ever worked with. He was a lovely guy. He was charming in all ways. He was one of these really kind of down-to-earth, friendly guys. I mean, we personally knew him for a long time, and we used to go up to where he used to live, and we'd go and have a beer together and, you know, things like that. He was one of the guys, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Every time I've worked with John Hurt, somewhere down the line I've killed him. Every movie you walk on and he goes, oh Christ, it's you. Am I going to die this time? No, he was a lovely guy, and basically that set, obviously we knew what was going to happen. Ridley knew what he wanted, and I built this rig to do it, and we got John in there, and he had to be staying in there for some time, because one of my young guys, he used to drop off in the way to the studio in the morning to an abattoir, and he used to get all the kind of heart intestines and that, they were all completely washed.
Okay.
We used to have this come because, you know, you couldn't kind of copy like organs like that in like the technology of rubbers and silicon that we didn't have that time.
Right. So you had to use the real thing.
Yeah, there's John Hurt strapped in under this table, and he's got an open chest and I'm taking off a tray. I'm packing all this live offal in around his area. It was so funny. So we supplied him with a glass of white wine, and one of my great guys, another one of my friends, he's not alive at the moment, Alan Bryce, he supplies him with a Gulwa cigarette. So there he is, having open heart surgery with a glass of wine in one hand and a Gulwa in the other. And I mean, it was the most bizarre kind of shot that you could come across. It was really weird.
So he was having fun, even though he was about to have an alien pop through his chest.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we were all just chatting, da 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 da. Anyway, I can honestly say that, you know, because when the artists came in, none of the crew knew what was going to happen. They knew something was going to happen, but, you know, they were kind of issues like white coats and things, you know, that kind of thing to protect themselves, because there was going to be blood flying. And, of course, the artists came in and obviously looked around and gone, something's going on here, brother, because they knew something was going to happen, but they didn't know what. I can honestly remember Veronica Cartwright, she's sitting on the back of like a sofa, and when it went off, there must have been half a pint of this blood hit her square in the face, and she just disappeared over the top of the sofa. When it actually recut, she kind of came out, and I'm not kidding you, she was actually white through the blood. It was the most amazing kind of thing. The shock on her face, it was quite remarkable. I can still see it to this day, you know.
Wow, so she was genuinely frightened.
She generally didn't know what was happening. When she got this kind of couple of blood straight in the face, it kind of really woke her up, and she just kind of went over the back of the sofa.
And that must have been, you know, so intentional on Ridley's part to do that scene without anyone really knowing what was going on.
It was to try and get the actual shock.
Yes.
You know, on their faces, which obviously we made it to a scene.
Nick, let's talk about the eggs. So, what was Ridley's reaction to seeing the alien eggs for the first time?
Well, those shots, the close-up shots, when we did those at Bray, and the inserts as well while we were shooting the miniatures, you know? The first egg was produced, and this is a gospel truth, the first egg was produced, and it really went to see it, and it had a two lips, if you know what I mean. It saw it opening and closing, and we used to then go from there, and in Bray, above the bar, there was like a big office, like boardroom, and so we'd go and have a discussion in there, and there was Gordon Carroll, one of the producers, one of the loveliest Americans I've ever worked with. He was so quiet and a real gentleman, you know? And obviously there was Igor Powell, and people like that. They were, you know, the Heavy Boys and Peter from Fox. And we're all sitting there, and Ridley, they said, well, what do you think the eggs? And Ridley, in his, like, northern accent, said, I think the eggs effing obscene. And he said, what do you mean? He said, it looks, and in English, a fanny is a female part. You know, we call it a fanny is a pussy. And he said it looks like some great fanny. And there was like a hush went over, and Gordon Powell, who's this lovely, quiet guy, came around and said, Ridley, he said, I don't understand how you can call the egg obscene. You've got an alien running around with a 3-foot penis on his head, and you've got people coming through 15-foot tall vaginas on the alien strip, and you call the egg obscene. And
I think, like
that, I can remember it to this day. And I mean, it was coming from this guy that was so quiet, and the quietly way he just said it, and so perfectly. I mean, I just cracked people up. I mean, it was just the way he said it. You've got an alien running around with a 3-foot penis on his head, and people walking out with a 15-foot vagina, and you're calling the egg obscene. Of course, the egg then got strange, so it had like a cross in it that opened up in the four segments, you know. Which was in actual fact, it was the right thing to do, you know. It looked so much better, you know.
It's true. I mean, you could see a lot of imagery in that movie if you look for it.
Well, basically, I mean, a lot of that came from Giga, of course.
Right.
You know, I mean, Giga is so talented, but if you look back on any of his artwork, you know, his book and everything else, you actually can see that in the book, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There's that dark side of it, which is you know, kind of quite sexual in quite a lot of ways, you know.
Did you meet Giger when you were working on Alien?
Yeah, no, I knew him really, really well. And his lady at the time, she was great. But Ed always dressed in black, you know.
Yeah, that was the signature.
And the thing that people don't probably know about Giger, he, in the bar at Shepperton, there was a piano. And, you know, at the end of season or something like that, we go and have a beer, like, you know, a social thing, and say, you know, how we were getting on, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, sometimes the artist would come and we'd have a chat with them and everything else. It's like relaxing at the end of a long day sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
And he came in and he's got his long black leather coat on. He lifts up the piano lid, sits down, and he starts playing the most amazing modern jazz.
Wow! So he had a talent for playing piano.
Yeah, and of course, Harry Dean Stanton, another lovely guy. Unfortunately, even lost him.
Mm-hmm.
But there used to be a pool table in the studio as well, and of course, the drivers and things like that. He used to be playing pool, and he used to kind of really rip them off something rotten because he was a bloody good pool player. You know, they always had a little bet on games and things like that, and I don't think he ever lost. You know, he was one of those characters. He was a bit of a hustler in that respect.
Let's talk about the Jonesy jump scare for a second. No. There was some difficulties with the cat in that scene. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, the cat. Jonesy. Remember the shot when he opens up the door and the cat screams out, jumps out. It's that big shock moment. Well, the cat was in there. First of all, we fired compressed air up its backside and it just basically laid there. We did CO2 up its backside and it still stayed there. No way was this cat coming out. And it was Phil, my friend, that we talked about earlier. His daughter nearly killed him when she found out. He got in the back of the set, got the cat's tail, and at the tip of it, when we wanted the door open, he just literally kind of bent the tail over a little bit. You know, between his fingers?
Yeah.
That's what made the cat come screaming out of it. It didn't hurt the cat, but obviously, you know, just thinking his tail made him move rather quickly. And that's how we did it. But we tried everything else before. Nothing worked. But it went, okay, let me go in. And he climbed, he managed to get in the back of the set, and that's how we got that shot.
Wow.
And of course, we actually did have a stuffed cat, which was used, you know, when you see the cat just laying there all the time.
Right.
You can't have the real thing. So we had a basically double, but it was a mock-up one, you know, it was an artificial one. Where we were shooting on the stage, people used to walk through the back of the stage using it as a shortcut, you know, to go back to the offices. And it's your lunchtime, and of course, at the end of the lunchtime, people started moving back onto the set. The crew's getting back on the stages and everything else. And one of the props, you see, because at that stage, that set was on a rock, and so it was a couple of, a meter and a half high, you know, than everywhere else. And he's got the cat, which was the dummy cat, the stuffed cat, and his colleague was on the top, and he threw it up to him. You know, it was him to get up then. And so he caught it and walked on the step. Well, one of the women from the office saw this happen. She got back to her office and immediately phoned up the RSPCA.
Oh, no.
You know, and we had them come round. You're hurting a cat.
Oh, my gosh. And she thought it was real.
She thought it was real. Because she thought it was just all this cat being thrown up. And she thought, that's not fair. What's happening? You're doing something to a cat. No, we're not. This is the cat. And of course, everybody has a laugh. They look a little bit red-faced. And, you know, they go away quite happy and we carry on shooting.
Wow.
But it was little moments like that were just kind of priceless, really. The little funny anecdotes that happened all the way through, you know what I mean? That's basically, also, it livened everything up and really gave everybody, you know, livened everybody up a little bit and gave somebody a little bit of humour because, you know, sometimes it was quite intense, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it sounds like you guys had a blast on it and you also worked really hard because it is an amazing movie and you actually won an Oscar for Best Visual Effects Alien.
That's right, yeah.
What was that moment like for you when you received the Oscar? And I know Farrah Fawcett was giving the awards that night. What was that moment like for you?
I couldn't have had a better looking person doing it. I've always been a big fan of her. I've loved her for years. No, I've got to tell you, the thing that went through my mind is that that whole stage is like polished. It's like a black, basically like black shiny glass almost.
Mm.
And my first thought was, oh my God, I could walk across there and fall flat on my backside, you know? And that was really one of the things that kind of went through my mind. It was like a strange thing. But, you know, it's a weird thing that goes on. And it's then obviously from then you get kicked out the back and, you know, photographed and stuff like that. And I came back and somebody's sitting in my seat. And I went, that's a bit odd. Anyway, the person gets up and walks past and I go back. And what actually people don't understand is in the Oscars, this is what actually happened. They organise it and down the side of the auditorium or wherever it be, there are people all dressed up and they're waiting. And when somebody gets up to get an award, they nip in quickly and sit in their seat.
Oh.
So when the camera comes round, the whole place is full. There's not an empty spot.
Wow, I did not know that they did that. That is genius.
Yeah, that's actually happened. And I saw it, you know, and I thought, that is quite amazing. They thought of doing it that way, that when the camera comes round, there's not empty seats, you know?
Wow, yeah. Every detail counts. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, very, very clever. I will tell you that it was that kind of film I believed in, that I and Jack Van Link, the DOP, we ended up great friends. We took care of our halves and we actually went over to L.A. For the opening night. We got dressed up and went to the cinema and we saw the manager and Foxy had already phoned them up, I believe. And met him and he, you know, shook their hand and he said, look, come in my office. And we went in his office and he said, let everybody come in and we'll slip you in and put you in your seats. So we did. And it was quite remarkable to watch this movie for the very first time with a live audience that had never seen it before, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it was just quite, quite incredible. And one of the pieces that sticks out in my mind, it was quite, I'll never forget it. We're sitting slightly towards the back of the auditorium, and the scene when everything's going real as a cut, and she's hit the detonation and everything, and she can't find the cat, and she's running through the spaceship, shouting out, Jonesy, 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 Jonesy. There's a man right down the very front, and he was one of these big guys. He kind of jumped up, his popcorn went up in the air, and he shouted, fuck the cat, get out of there. I'll never ever forget that. It was just like this guy was so into it. And he just jumped up and carried out the top of his voice, fuck the cat, get out of there. I thought, well, that's a great, that was kind of, if you've got that kind of effect on people, this is going to be something special, you know.
That's amazing, Nick. What an incredible story. And I'm just in awe of all of your stories about the making of Alien. It's so amazing to talk to someone who was there and can share these stories with our audience. And I actually have one more question for you, and it's our class of 79 extra credit question that I ask all of our graduates of 1979, and it is, if you could go back in time 40 years ago, what advice would you give yourself, either with regards to working on Alien or just life in general?
I'm going to say, I have a quote of my father, who was in the film industry. Unfortunately, I lost him when he was only 47. We were more brothers than anything else, and we'd actually, fantastically, I've been brought up around cameras since I was 9 years old. He was obviously, he was a great camera engineer, and so I got a lot of his, you know, a lot of my background off of him. And, you know, at that time, he was traveling all over the world on movies. And when I started, etc., he said to me, most importantly, he said to me, don't forget, when you're in this industry, you are the highest paid tourist in the world. And another thing he said to me, be kind to the industry because it's being kind to you. Mm-hmm. And those words I never forgot.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for sharing all of your wonderful stories with us. I know our Fangoria audience appreciates it. And, you know, we love Aliens so much. And 40 years on, I'm so happy that I got a chance to talk to you about your role.
I wish you didn't keep saying that 40 years because it makes me feel old all the time you say that.
Okay, just the anniversary of Alien.
Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Wow. Yeah, Jonesy.
Thanks for listening to Fangoria Presents Class of 79. We really appreciate you tuning in. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, we'd love it if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. And follow Fangoria on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the horror content you crave. Class of 79 is a Fangoria Podcast Network original, produced and hosted by Natasha Pacetta, executive producers Dallas Sonier and Phil Nobile Jr., associate producer Jessica Safavamer, art and design by Ashley Detmering, sound recording, design, and mixing by Natasha Pacetta, music by James Malone, for Fangoria, Brandon Wynerdy, Jason Koslerich, Rachel Wilson, and special thanks to Udo Kier.